Okay, bye-bye.
Our next guest is like a royalty in the property industry in UK. It's literally always a pleasure. It always blows me away when I speak with him because how he makes things sound so simple, even though they are really complicated and difficult. You can just make them look and feel so simple. And he literally is, to me and to many people I know, like the royalty of UK property industry. And he is the founder of Property Investors Network. He's also the chairman of Crowd Property. Please help me welcome Simon Zucci and the author of Property Magic.
Well, hello, Jack. Hello, everyone. That's very kind of you, Jack. I feel slightly embarrassed when you use words like that. You know what? I've just been doing this a long time and I've been around a long time and I've done pretty well in property, but hey, I've made loads of mistakes, you know, and I think anyone who's been in property for a while will probably, if they're honest, admit they bought some properties, which if they had their time again, they probably wouldn't buy those particular properties. They seem like a good idea at the time, but you know what? And all I want to do is I want to share some knowledge, share some inspiration. And, you know, and you've had some great speakers so far. You've got some more great speakers. So I congratulate everyone for being here. And we talked, what should we talk about? We discussed, and I thought, well, I quite like the idea of creative finance. And a lot of people struggle. Obviously, Mark was talking about using other people's money in pensions, which is I have a SAS pension. I borrow from other people's SAS. I lend to other people's SASs. And it's a great strategy. But you know what? There are some other things you can do. And so I'm just going to share my slides, if that's okay. I've got a little presentation for everybody. So let me just do this. Okay. Oh, I've not gone to the beginning for some reason. Let me go back to the beginning. That's not very good. Okay, here's the slides. Now, look, I've got a little request for everybody. I would like everyone to turn the cameras on. Turn your cameras on, and I would love you to engage as much as you can with this presentation. So I'm going to encourage you to type some things into the chat box. And I'll tell you why. You know, you might be at home and it's a lovely, beautiful day in Birmingham where I'm based. You might be out in the garden just listening to the background. You might be in the car listening in. You might be doing whatever. But, you know, I really encourage you when you do an event like this, using your time to really commit your time to really focus on this, because my goal for this is I want to get things differently, and I'll share that. So guys, if you can just make sure you're all muted, JV Hong, if you're gonna mute yourself, please. But if you could turn your cameras on. Alan, good to see you here. I know we've got quite a few of my clients are here already. Yogesh, good, great to see you here. Paul, I know you're here as well. So yeah, come on guys, turn your cameras on. I'd love to see you, and you can put it on a gallery view, see other people here. Imagine you're actually live in a room, we're sitting there, you'd all see each other. Doesn't matter if you've got a bad hair day or whatever, or you're not quite sure about your background, whatever, just turn the cameras on. I really want to engage with you as much as we possibly can, okay? Now, I just want to congratulate yourself. Because you know what, there are lots of other things you could be doing with your time. But there are so many great speakers here. And even if you've heard a speaker speak before, I'm sure many of you have heard me speak before, even if they're giving the same presentation, I'd encourage you to think, okay, what can I learn that's new here? I don't know about you, Jack. I've had the experience where I've read a book a second time or watched a movie a second time. I picked up things that I missed the first time round. And that's because we can't take everything in straight away. And also we're in a different position than the first time because we've got that knowledge having been through it once, right? So I really encourage you to just have a very open mind. And I'm gonna hopefully really stimulate your thinking. And my goal for this particular session, I wanna change the way that you think about you investing in property. You see, very often we have these beliefs about what we can and can't do. They're called limiting beliefs. They hold us back. But actually, I believe you can do anything you want to do. If you decide to commit to it and you focus and get the resources around you, I believe you can do anything. So with that in mind, I'd like to share with you my thoughts on this. And I believe that every property deal can be funded through one of the creative funding solutions if it is a good enough deal. So what I mean is you might want to jot these down. I'm not going to slide, but there's obviously, we've all heard about joint ventures, where you might find a deal, someone puts some money in, and that's great, great place to start. But ultimately, you're sharing some of the cash flow and some of the profit with someone else. So better than joint ventures is private loans. You know, Mark's talked about, you could borrow money from someone's pension, give them a good return. They get a fixed return. They get money back first. There's always a risk when you lend money, obviously, but or borrow money, but doing a loan is really good. Then there are some other things you can do. You could do a joint venture with the owner of the property. Let's say you find something needs developing and they don't have the knowledge or the energy to do that. You can find a great deal. You can bring someone like Crowd Property in, one of my, I'll mention that later, who will actually fund that deal for you using none of your own money. It's about you having the creative thinking around it. You could do rent to rent, which is a way of getting income from someone else's property. You could do purchase lease option, which is better than a rent to rent, similar, but you get to buy the property as well if you want. So all these different things you can do. Now, they don't all work all of the time. Let me say that again. They do not all work all of the time, but there will always be one creative finance solution that will work for any deal you have. One of them will work as long as it's a good enough deal. And I'll explain a bit more about that later on. Now, here's what you're going to learn in this session. First of all, how to fund your deals using creative finance. We're going to give you some examples of how people have done that. I'm going to talk about how you can achieve better results in less time. And at the end of the day, time is your most valuable resource. You know, you can always earn more money, but you can never get your time back. So we want to be really precious with that time we have. I'm going to talk about how you can replace your income with just one property deal. Think about that for a minute. What if the next deal you did gave you enough profit each month to replace your income? Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, if you're completely new to property, to be fair, your next deal is probably not going to be the one that replaces your income. You know, your first deal is always the hardest to do. But those of you who've got property experience already, I know there are lots of experienced people on this call, there are some completely new people as well, but if you've got property experience already, there is no reason why your next deal could not be a deal that replaces all of your income. Just type into the chat box how you would feel if the next deal was to replace all of your income. Just think about that for a minute. Just one more deal, how would that feel? Pretty amazing, I'm sure you'd agree. By the way, when I ask you to put something in the chat box, please do participate, because the more you engage, I promise you, the more you're going to get out of this trade. So just type in, how would you feel if your next deal replaced your income? Now, you might be thinking, well, that would be great, son, but I just don't believe it's possible yet. Well, you got to be careful what you believe, because your mindset's very important, but we'll touch more on that in a moment. So people are saying amazing, relieved. Of course, be amazing, right? Now, to do that, I'm going to share with you three secrets. So the main body of this this presentation today is sharing three secrets which are going to turbocharge your property investing results. And also, I want to tell you how I can help you move forward quickly. I've got something very, very special at the end of this to offer you, but I need to give you some context first of all. Now, my first lesson, if you like, is listen carefully. You know, most people, they think they listen, but they don't really listen very carefully. And this is important whether you're dealing with a private investor. You've got to listen to find out what they are looking for. If you're dealing with a landlord who's looking to sell some of his property, you've got to listen, what's his motivation? If you're dealing with a seller, an estate agent, letting it, you've got to listen really carefully. So with that in mind, unless you're listening on your phone, take your phone, please, and put it onto airplane mode so that you are not affected. Put it onto airplane mode, first of all. If you're on your computer, close down any other windows, just have this window open, turn off your email alerts, because I want to be giving you some information here. And again, Jack says, one of my gifts, if you like, I try and make things really simple. Doesn't mean they are simple. I try and make them simple so you understand it. If you don't understand something, you're never going to be able to do it. So I want to try and simplify things as much as we possibly can to make it easy for you to make the most out of this. Okay. So I just want to have a quick look. I want to stop sharing. I don't see more people. Guys, I want to see more people on your camera. Turn your camera on so we can look at you and say hello. Come on, guys, turn your cameras on, because I want to make sure you're there, really focused, listening in. I know you might be driving, you might not, but if you can turn your camera, that's it, guys. Come on, turn your cameras on. More people are doing it. Okay, that's it. Look at those lovely people we're watching. Okay, good. Great. Tony cameras on. Let's be nice and present here, guys. Okay. So let me just go back to the slides. Okay. So listening, at least I know you're listening to me, which is good. Okay. Now, I think it's really important whenever you listen to it. Now, Jack's been very careful. The people he's put onto this platform, because you are his clients, he knows them all. He's worked with them or learned from them. So he's picked people very carefully. But I think it's very important. Whenever you watch some training or you listen to a webinar or you watch a YouTube video or you listen to a podcast, you need to ask yourself the question, does this person know what they are talking about? Are they qualified to be giving an opinion on this? Now, there is no such thing as a qualification in property investing yet. Having said that, I am working with an organization to create a degree, a master's degree in property investment. It's going to be called real estate investment. It's going to be in America. That's something I'm working on at the moment, which might happen this year. Probably is going to come out next year. So there will be an actual qualification in the kind of investing window. You can go and get qualification in surveying. You can get a qualification in project management, in buildings management, facility management, but there's no actual degree or master's in property investing. However, there's the University of Life. And I've been investing 26 years. So I'm going to very quickly tell you a little bit about myself, just in case you don't know, you've never heard me speak before. So I started in 1995 when I bought a property, when I just started work as a graduate trainee on a graduate training program at Cadbury's. And as soon as I got that job, I bought a house. Now, this is a modern picture of that house. It's a two-bedroom, two-reception-room house in Selly Oak in Birmingham, just next to Birmingham University. And Selly Oak is a suburb next to Bourneville, which is where Cadbury's are based. So I'd been at university, knew the area. I bought a house there. I had friends who were still at university. So I rented out two of the rooms to my friends who were at uni. There were only two bedrooms, so we used a reception room, which is what happens in a student property. So three of us lived in this house. And I pretty much lived for free. They were paying my mortgage and the bills, which was great. And I was saving lots of my salary from Cadbury's. I've always been entrepreneurial. I had a business I was running in the evenings and weekends, running nightclub events in Birmingham. And that created some good money. So I was able to buy my second property in 98. I moved out of this first one. I held onto it and I turned it into a student rental property. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And I started to buy more and more properties. And I got to the point in 2001, I was able to leave my corporate career. Now, I'd done the graduate program, I'd secured a job there, I became a senior manager, and people thought I was crazy. And to a certain extent, I did as well, in that I was leaving this dream job. I mean, Cadbury's great company, great people, great products, obviously. And yet I was walking away from it. And I hadn't quite replaced my income at that point, but I had enough money coming in to cover my living costs. And I knew that property worked. And I thought I like my time. I like my freedom more. So I left in 2001. And by 2003, I'd completely replaced my income. Now, actually, in 2002, I went on a property course, one of the very early property courses before I was teaching anything. It was a 3-day course. I got a leaflet come through my door saying, hey, do you want to be a property millionaire? And by that time, I'd pretty much, you know, I'd left my job. I'd pretty much replaced my income. I had well over £1 million of equity, but I thought, well, you know, I'm open. I can always learn something. I went along to this talk and some of the stuff they talked about, yeah, sure enough, I knew. But they also shared a few things that I didn't know. And I realized this, and I want you to write this saying down. You don't know what you don't know. Please write that down. Once you really understand that, it's very empowering because you don't know what you don't know. So what I did was, I learned on this course and I left the course and I applied what they taught me and I bought a couple of properties, you know, using very little of my own money, which was brilliant. And I thought this was fantastic. But the problem is after doing a course, my motivation kind of came down. And I don't know about you, but I found it really lonely. See, none of my friends were investing. They were all busy working. None of my family had invested apart from their own homes. I was very much on my own here. So in 2003, I was online trying to see if there was some sort of group I could go to, some sort of networking group. And there are lots of them now, and it seems obvious now, but there was nothing in 2003. So I founded the very first networking anywhere in the UK, and I called it Property Investors Network. And at those events, we started in Birmingham, there are now 50 plus meetings around the country. Hopefully you've been to a PIN meeting. If you haven't, you should go and check it out. In fact, if you've never been to a PIN meeting, write this down. It's www.pinmeeting.co.uk, pinmeeting.co.uk. There are meetings all over the country. And actually, if you've never been, come along as my guest. If you go to pinmeeting.co.uk, select the meeting you want, scroll down to the bottom to the payment area, click on pay with a voucher code and use my surname, which is Zutshi, Z-U-T-S-H-I. You can come to your first meeting for free rather than £20. If you've been before, you know how great it is, but commit to go to these meetings, guys. It's great to connect to other people. And by the way, if you want to find other people to fund your deals, people with money, go to property events to learn how to do it. And they sometimes think, oh, this is too much hard work. They'd love to work with someone like you, who's a bit more experienced, who's got the time, who can maybe find some great deals. Okay, so it's a great place to find people who could fund some of your deals for you. And then people said to me, Simon, can you teach us a bit about what you've done? So I started running training back in 2003. So I've been training people almost 20 years. That means I've been training people in the last boom, the last crash, the recovery, and then obviously the latest boom as well. So I know what happens in the property market. I've seen all conditions. We've trained people through it. I've been investing in it myself. There are a lot of people who pop up training, and that's great. Lots more people training other people. That's great. I've been spreading the word, helping other people. But if they've only been doing it 3 or 4 years and investing less than 10 years themselves, they haven't experienced a property market crash and they don't know what to do in a crash. You know, I know because I was there and we were guiding our clients through it, and our clients who listened to what we said did very, very well. So in 2007, I set up the Property Mastermind program, a year-long mastermind. Some of you may have heard of it, and I've got some of our masterminds on the training today. I wrote a book called Property Magic. If you haven't read it, you should, absolutely should. It's Property Magic in the 6th edition is the one you want. And then I'm still investing in property. Now, this deal here, it's one of the biggest I've done. And this was actually a few years ago. And I've used this example because this is a great example of creative finance. This was a deal that someone bought to me. So I didn't find the deal. Let me say that again. I didn't find the deal. They came to me, said, Simon, would you like to get involved in this? I did my due diligence. So yeah, that looks like a good deal. Now, by the way, I've never been to the site. I've never been to this property. I didn't find the deal. They came to me, said, do you want to fund it? Now, I have funds to use. I use other people's as well. All my money was tied up. So I reached out to some people in my network and found some people who wanted to fund this. We just did private loans with them. So I did a JV with the person who found the deal, and they are very experienced. They project managed the whole thing. They just didn't have the money. I put all the money in, but it came from someone else's loan. So I kind of sat in the middle. So I didn't find the deal. I didn't put my money in. I sat in the middle using my knowledge and my network. And the project made just under £1 million profit. Now, I only get half of that. JV partner gets half, I get half. But that's not bad for a project I didn't find. I've never even been to, and I didn't use my money. How do you do that? Well, you've got to know what a good deal is. You've got to educate yourself, but also you need to build your network. That's why coming to events like this and connecting, going to networking events, going to property training events is a really smart thing to do to build your network. And it was doing bigger projects like this. I've been doing developments like this for about maybe 10 years or so. And I was using other people's money, typically chunks of 50K. And I realized there were lots of people on my database who maybe didn't have 50K, but would love to get involved in projects. And I do what Mark says, a lend and learn. People look over my shoulder and learn. But I thought, actually, the people who don't have that much money want to get a good return. And we have lots of students on our mastermind who are finding really good development deals, but they were struggling to get funding. So I came up with the idea in 2013 to create an online platform to facilitate that lending to experienced developers. Called it Crowd Property. It's now, and by the way, I was the chairman. I'm not the chairman anymore. I've resigned from that position because I'm so busy with my other property stuff. I'm still the major shareholder of Crowd Property, but I have nothing to do with the day-to-day. I have a great team running that for me. It's another example of actually, don't think you have to do everything yourself. You know, if in property or business, if you're trying to grow a business and you're trying to do everything yourself, you will become the bottleneck. In my training business, you know, I am the bottleneck because I do a lot of the training. I have Andy Haynes as my right-hand man. He does lots of it. He's a great trainer. But you know what? The problem with that is a lot of it's down to me. So I wanted to make sure Crown Property was a business that wasn't reliant on me. So that's a big tip, guys. In your property business, don't think you need to do everything. You can bring other people in to help you out. You should focus on the things that you enjoy, that you're really good at. That's going to help you grow your property business. Okay. So a little bit about me. I've been doing this a long time. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything about property. I've made loads of mistakes and I'm learning all the time because I'm still actively investing. Now let's crack on with what I really wanted to share with you. Now, going back to that first house I bought in 1995, I've lived there a few years. Then I decided to go from this terraced house up to this end terrace house. It was three bedrooms instead of two, had a garage, a bit close to the Cadbury's, and I decided to rent this first one out to students. So I rented this one out, I lived in this one, and that in 1998 when I had this light bulb moment. And I realized that houses are like cash machines. See, if you do this right, when you buy a property and you rent it out, when the rent comes in at the end of each month, after you've paid the insurance, you paid the mortgage, you paid the maintenance, you paid the bills, there should be some money left over. And if there's money left over for you, that's your profit. And you've got to pay tax on it, obviously. Like any other business, you make money, you've got to pay tax. And they changed the way that we get tax. So it used to be your own property in your own name. That's not such a good thing now, but in a different ways of doing it. So now I've done some basics. Let me give you these three secrets. Now, the first secret is this. You don't need lots of properties to replace your income. People think, well, if I want to earn on a £5,000 a month, I'm going to have 40, 50 properties. That's not the case. And let me just give you a little example relating to the first proper rental property I had. So my salary at the Cadbury's in 1998, I was still on the graduate program at the time. I hadn't quite finished when I bought my second house. I was being paid about £1,500 per month. It's over 20 years ago I'm talking about now. £1,500 a month. And I was putting in about 40 plus hours a week, over 200 hours a month to earn that salary. And it was a great job. I loved the job. Don't get me wrong. Jobs are good. I'm not saying jobs are bad because it's great to have an income coming in, great to be able to get mortgages, etc. But compare that to my property. My first rental property, I rented out to students and I was worried about, hey, am I going to find tenants? Are they going to pay me the rent? Are they going to trash for all these things I was worried about? When I actually did it, they weren't really problems. And I noticed by just looking at my bank statement that after paying all the bills, my bank statement was, I had a separate account for my property, which you should have, obviously. Every month, it was increasing by about £500 a month, the balance, because I was making £500 profit a month. Now, I was managing this first property myself because it didn't take much effort and I didn't want to give the income to a letting agent, but it was taking me about a couple of hours, if that, a month to manage it. So hang on a minute. I've got a job where I'm making £1,500 a month, but spending 200 hours plus a month, or I've got a property making me just £500. So not as much, but only spending 2 hours a month. My question is, which of these would you rather have? Just type it in, job or property, into the chat box. I said, nothing wrong with a job, and I'm not suggesting you give your job up at all. You still do your job, but really, property, this is what you want to do. Now, the thing I love about property, as opposed to Cadbury's, where I have to keep on going and turning up to get paid, with property, you can work once and get paid forever. Now, I'm here to say that property investing, it does take some time, it does take some effort, but that time and effort is better paid than anything else you're ever going to do. And the reason is because once you put the upfront effort and got that property, you get paid every single month as long as you own the property, and the value of that property goes up over time. So although there is some time and effort, I promise you it's worth putting the effort in. You'll be rewarded very, very well for doing it. Now, when it comes to property investing, a lot of people say, okay, which property do I prefer? And I've got two properties, cash machines here. One on the left, the kind of the blue one that sunk into the wall. The one on the right looks a bit older. It's kind of silvery blue and red. I'd love you to type into the chat box right now, which of these, if it's an investment, which of these would you rather have? The one on the left, or the one on the right? By the way, well done to everybody who's typing stuff in. Some people are saying people on the left. Come on, have a vote, guys. On the left, on the right. Now I've got some great points coming to Alan. One of our masterminds said, depends on the cost of each. Really good point. Yogesh said, need more information. Yeah, guy, and you guys have all been educated, so you understand this, right? But the point I'm trying to make here is some people, they make their investing decisions based on just the cosmetic appearance of the property. You know, some would say, well, the one on the left, you know, it's sunk into the wall, looks a bit more secure. The one on the right is, you know, looks a bit older, might need a bit of work doing to that, you know. But the cosmetics don't really matter as much as what does the property actually do for you. So let me give you some more information. The one on the left is like a normal buy-to-let property, very popular, easy to rent out, low hassle, makes about £1,000, £100 profit per month. The one on the right is a different, it might be an HMO, might be serviced accommodation, but it makes £1,000 profit per month. So let me ask you again, which of these would you prefer? One on the left or one on the right? Please do vote, come and type something in. Which would you prefer, the one on the left or the one on the right? Ah, interesting, now more people are saying the one on the right. Okay, well, obviously, if it's giving you better cash flow. Now, here's the point. If a property is making you £1,000 profit per month, for most people, they would only need 4 to 6 of these properties that give you £1,000 profit each in order to replace their income. 4 to 6 properties. What that, not 46, 4 to 6 properties. What that means is when you're doing the right kind of investing, most people do not need to have 50 properties. In fact, between 4 and 6 of the right type might be more than enough to give you the income you need to replace your job. I'd love you to type in, how many of these do you need? And this is all important, guys, because you need to put a stake in the ground. You need to be clear on what are you aiming for. Then you've got a much better chance of actually getting there if you know where you're trying to go. Rather than just say, oh, well, I'm going to buy some property, see what happens. You want to be really clear. Okay. Now, Vicky said, the one on the left, I don't have the time or inclination for HMOs or SA. Well, I agree with you to a certain extent, Vicky. I don't want to manage my properties, but I don't manage my properties. I spend an hour a week. I spend less time managing my properties now with all the properties I've got than I spent when I first started because I have other people doing it for me. So I want everyone to listen very carefully here when I say this. I am not encouraging you to become a landlord. A landlord, in my mind, is someone who looks after all their properties personally. I don't think you should do that. I want you to be an investor, someone who invests money, either your money or other people's, gets a great return on that, and then you have time and money freedom to do what you want to do. If you get that, just type investor into the chat box. See, a lot of people think, oh, I've got to invest, well, I've got to be a landlord. No, you don't have to be a landlord. I think being a landlord, sorry, but I think it sucks. There are much better things you could be doing your time rather than managing property, dealing with tenants. If you agree with that, type in agree. Type in agree. You do not have to be the person managing your property. I'm going to come to this in a lot more detail. Okay, so type in how many properties you need. Yeah, people are saying investor, agree. He said, how many properties? Come and type it in. Guys, you've got to be clear on how are you going to get there if you don't know where your goal is. So it's very simple. Work out how much you currently earn right now, okay? And how much do you earn? Let's say you earn £4,000 a month at the moment. Well, you'd need 4 at £1,000 each. So come and type it in, guys. Get really clear on how many you need. Oh, Vicky says, yeah, I'm a landlord, but yes, I agree. I love that I could move all of mine over to an agent if I needed to. That's great, Vicky. You obviously set it up in the right way. That's good to hear. Okay, great. So the reality is for most people, it's not that many properties needed. And what that means is 12 months from now, if you chose to, 12 months from now, you could be in a position where you don't have to work. Look, Monday, for most people, is a bank holiday. Most people are not going to work on Monday. What would it be like for you if every day was like a bank holiday? You didn't have to go to work. You could choose how you spend your time. Wouldn't that be pretty amazing? Absolutely. So the other thing I need to share with you, it's not just about the cash flow, not just about the monthly profit you make. you also need to look at the return on investment, the ROI. So a couple of people who've done our training already have said, oh, hang on, well, okay, the cash flow is great, but how much money do I need? What's the ROI? That's so true. And this links to secret number two. And I believe when you're investing in property, when you know what you're doing, you should be aiming for 15% plus ROI on all of your investments. 15% ROI on all of your investments. This means you're going to be making a lot more money from the investing you're making. So what is ROI? Well, basically, it's how quickly do you get your money coming back to you? So money you put in, whether it's yours or someone else's, how quick can you get it back? And the way we work it out is this. So listen carefully. You might want to write this down. We take the annual profit, not the rental income. It's the profit. How much do you make each year after paying the mortgage, the insurance, the maintenance, the management, because someone else is managing for you? How much profit do you make? Then you divide that by how much did I have to invest to acquire that asset in the first place? So it might be your deposit, it might be the stamp duty, the finance cost, the legal costs, etc. What money was required to start generating that annual profit? Okay. And then whatever the number is, the answer, you multiply it by 100 to give you a percentage. Multiply by 100. And the higher the percentage, the better the deal. So just to put this into perspective, let's look at these back to these cash machines, these properties. This one that makes £100 profit per month, that might just be a normal single let buy to let property, which, by the way, is what the majority of investors do. 82% of UK properties available for rent are just single let properties. That's the easy vanilla approach. But you might only get 5 to 7% return on investment. In London, it might only be 2 or 3%. Okay. However, an HMO or a serviced accommodation, you should be getting 15% plus return on investment. Now, are HMOs and serviced accommodations, are they more advanced strategies? Yes, they are. Do they require more time and work than a single let property? Yes, they do. Do you have to do the work? Not necessarily, because there's lots of profit in there. You can afford to get someone else to do it for you. So the best cash flow and the best ROI come from the two strategies, I believe, HMOs, houses of multiple occupation, where you rent out individual rooms to people, and serviced accommodation. Especially if you actually use other people's money and you're not using your money in the first place. Now you might think, well, hang on a minute. I can't get my head around this. So why would someone lend money to me? Why would they give me money for my investing? It's very simple. The reason people would fund you and your deals is because you can make money for them. You make money for them. Mark was talking about earlier about using money in a pension, and he says we give 8 to 12%, he was saying. That's a phenomenal return. That's much better than people get in the bank. I mean, much, much better than getting in the bank. And there's a whole art to speaking to people. Actually, I would never go out and offer people interest rates. That, by the way, write this down. It's going to save you a lot of money. Never offer someone an interest rate. Because if you got a profitable deal and you got lots of money you can give them and you offer them too much, guess what? They might be scared off if you're offering too much money. They might think it sounds too, how could you give me that much? The bank's giving me 0.1% and you're offering me 8%. That's crazy. And it's almost too good to be true. So they don't want to lend to you. And then also you've got people who say, yeah, 8%, that's brilliant. But you know what? They would have accepted a lot less. Now in our property world, 8 to 12% is probably pretty much an average return. But if you speak to the normal person, family, friends, work colleagues who've got money in the bank, that's way too much. In my experience of our clients, people are borrowing money from family, friends, people they know for somewhere between 2 to 5%. So it can be the same or even less than a mortgage costs you. And if you've got a very profitable deal, you can give them a fantastic return on their money and there's still plenty of profit in there for you. And this links to my third secret, which is it's easier to find private investors when you have a mega deal. And that's really what I want to focus on for this last part of this section is a mega deal. So your next property could be a mega deal. No reason why it couldn't be, unless you're completely new to property when maybe it's not realistic. Your first deal is going to be a mega deal. You could get a good HMO, give you £1,000 profit, but I'm talking about mega deals. So let me explain a little bit more about that. So a mega deal is where you make £3,000 to £5,000 profit per month from one deal. £3,000 to £5,000 per month from one deal. Now, why should you do mega deals? Well, first of all, you don't need to do that many deals to get a significant income coming in, okay? Your next deal that you do, if it's a mega deal, could be enough to replace your income. And because there's so much cash flow, there's plenty of profit to use other people's money. Now, one big deal, although it takes some time and effort, obviously, I'm not saying it's easy, far from it. There's time and effort required. You've got to know what you're doing, right? But one big deal takes a lot less time than lots of small deals. Because each small deal, you still got to go and find it. You've got to negotiate it. You've got to put the offer in. You've got to get your legal work done. You've got to get your mortgage. You've got to get the property ready. Well, that's a lot more work than doing one big deal. But this is the important point. There's actually very little competition for these bigger deals. Why? Because there's a sweet spot. I think, depending on where you are in the country, it might be between 500,000 up to about 2 million. That's a lot more than the average investor would be prepared to put into a property. Or they'll be looking at smaller deals, probably sub 500,000. And if it's really big, over 2 million, or maybe bigger developers might look at that. But the sweet spot of 500,000 to about 2 million, there aren't as many people looking. And I tell you why, because people think, oh, I can't do those big deals because I don't have the money. I don't have that money to do big deals. So they look at deals that suit their budget. But that's the point. If you're finding these big deals, that mega deals with mega profit, you've got so much profit there, you can afford to pay someone else to put the money in. Most people just don't have the knowledge or confidence to do these mega deals. Let me give you an example. I talk about some of the different creative strategies that have been used to do some of these deals. So this is Charmaine. She lives in Kent. This is a property in Southeast London. And this is an old example. This is probably 5 or 6 years old now, but I picked this one because this is in London. And this was actually secured on a purchase lease option. People say, oh, you can't do things like that in London. Well, yes, you can if A, you believe it and you've got the right knowledge, obviously. So this actually is a 17-bed student HMO in London. Charmaine picked it up on a 5-year purchase lease option. It was a former hotel annex, an empty hotel annex. The guy was trying to sell it. Charmaine tried to negotiate, get a better deal, but he was adamant the price he wanted. She said, I can give you the price you want if you give me the terms I want. So she bought it over in 5 years' time. She has now bought it, actually. And as an option, it was making a £48,000 profit per year. That's £4,000 per month. She secured the option for £1. She needed to spend about £60,000 giving it a light refurb inside, but that was borrowed from someone else. So, you know, purchase these options, a great strategy. This is Dr. Tim. Tim lives down in Bristol. This is a lovely, I think it's a Georgian four-story property in Clifton, just below the Clifton Suspension Bridge. This was actually being used as a 16-bed HMO. It wasn't on the market. Charmaine's one was on the market. Anyone could have found that property. It was listed with an estate agent. Tim's wasn't on the market. It was off market. And by the way, finding properties off market means you don't have as much competition as other people. If you're fed up of going, making offers and getting outbid by other people, you want to try off-market properties. You don't have the competition. He was able to buy it for $720,000. At the time, when Tim started investing, he was a doctor. He had his own home. He'd been trying to pay it down like most people did. He did our training, realized actually that wasn't a smart thing to do. He remortgaged his home. He used that money for his first few deals. Then he ran out of money. So I think it was about his fourth or fifth deal, but this was the first one where he had no money. So he used other people's money. He needed several hundred thousand pounds as a deposit to do this deal. He found it from private investors. This makes over £55,000 profit per annum. That's a 26%. Although a couple of hundred thousand was required, it's a 26% return on investment. The point is, there's plenty of profit for Tim, and plenty of profit for him to give the person who put the money in. Another example, this is Michael and Sam Chamberlain, father and son, up in Leeds. They found this large 22-bed HMO off market. They found it via landlord letters, writing to existing landlords, purchased it for $1.125 million using other people's money. The rental income was $125K, gives £48,000 profit per year. That's £4,000 per month. Let me give you one more, two more examples. This is Richie. Now, Richie, this is interesting. Richie lives in Bristol, right? Richie lives in Bristol. And Richie's belief was, well, it's a bit expensive to invest in Bristol. And, you know, it is, but there were still deals to be had. But Richie decided to invest elsewhere. So his first two deals were just six-bed HMOs that he was doing out of area. And he was actually investing up in Sheffield, okay? So some people think, oh, it's too expensive, Meyer, I can't invest. Well, find another area. There are other areas. If you've got good people on the ground in the area in which you're investing, you can absolutely invest out of area. In fact, we have some of our international clients on our virtual mastermind program that don't live here. And yet they're successfully investing here because they've got people on the ground. They've tapped into that high caliber network. Now, Richie had done these two smaller deals. Well, I say small, there were two six-bed HMOs, still pretty good for his first two deals. His third deal, he said to his agent, said, have you got any bigger properties? Because he'd learned what I taught him on mega deals at Mastermind. He said, have you got any bigger properties? And the agent kind of laughs and said, well, yeah, I have got this 48-bed HMO. And Richie said, yeah, I'd be interested in that. 48 bedrooms over four floors. I mean, we're talking a huge point. Now, listen very carefully here. Listen very carefully. To do a bigger deal like this, to get commercial finance, which it would be on a bigger property, you've got to have some experience. Although Richie had two six-bed HMOs, that wasn't enough experience. So this was a big deal. Richie didn't have the money, and he didn't have the experience. Now, he knew about HMOs because we taught him well. He understood what was required, but he didn't have the track record. So what he did was he went out and found two joint ventures from our network. Two people who had a lot more property than him, had a lot more experience, thus they were able to get commercial finance. And they also both had a bit of money. So he got two joint venture partners. They did a three-way deal. Richie had found the deal in the first place. The other two people came in, bought their expertise, and both put some money in. And then the three of them collectively raised money as well. Okay. Now, this was on the market for 1.8 million, which, given the condition, was probably a little bit high, but that's what it was on the market for. Richie secured it for 1.5 million. And most people think, oh, I couldn't possibly do a deal that size. Stop thinking about resources you have and think bigger. If it's a good profitable deal, there are people out there who will help fund these things for you. So Richie bought this property. It was a big refurb job they did. Because the current owners have not kept it up to the modern standards. They spent $321,000 on a refurb. But having done that, they increased the value because the rental income is commercial property up to over £3 million capital value. That meant they were able to refinance, pay back the first mortgage, the two JV partners who put money and got their money back, and the private investor that they'd all brought in, they were all paid back as well. So this is a no money left in deal. This is a BRRR, if you like, a buy, refurbish, refinance, rent out, but just on a mega scale, right? This is a BRR, basically. And this deal, this property now makes £168,000 profit per year. It's an infinite return on investment because they've got no money left in. Now, unfortunately, Richie doesn't make all that money. He only makes a third of it. He only makes about £56,000 a year from this property where he put no money in. He didn't even have the experience to do the deal. Pretty inspiring, right? There's a picture of it. Isn't that an amazing? Look at that beast. What a huge property that is. Look, if you're getting inspired by this, just type in inspired into the chat box. And I want to share one more case study with you. So these are all guys on our mastermind, by the way. This is David. David was an accountant. He had a small practice, a couple of people working for him. So he would go out and win the business. The other people would do most of the work. And David noticed that all of his wealthy clients had either made money in property or made money in business and put it into property. And David was doing okay, but he thought, you know what, maybe I should be making more money. So he came and did some ad training, came on our mastermind, and this was his first deal. Now, again, David did not have the experience to do this himself. And a point I'm trying to make here is when you joint venture with other people, work with other people, it's not just money you're looking for sometimes, it's bringing more. You've got to know what the great deal is in the first place. But if you've got a great deal, there'll be lots of people who want to work with you, okay? And they might bring experience and money in. So one thing I could teach you right now is we said to David, look, go and look in your local area, look at developments that are happening. Contact the developer and say, hey, what are you doing with that building? Are you going to sell them on? Are you going to rent it out? This particular one was a commercial on the ground floor, residential conversion, and really nice, great condition. And the developer said, well, I don't want to sell. I want to hold for long-term value, but I don't want to rent. I'm just going to give them to a letting agent. Now, when you give your property to a letting agent, there's no guarantee they're going to find tenants. You might have some void periods. So David said, well, how about if I take on the whole block from you and I give you a guaranteed rental income? They had a little bit of a rent-free period. And obviously while they were just finishing the properties off, they started to advertise straight away. They got one ready, used it as a show flat, put it up on Airbnb and booking.com, etc. And they turned it into an apart hotel. I say they because David didn't have the experience. He connected with someone else in our mastermind group who was very, very experienced in serviced accommodation. They worked together as joint ventures. David bought the deal. The other person put the systems in, the process, et cetera, did most of the work. And this block of 9 one-bed apartments, they were paying the landlord just under the market rent, £700 per month per apartment. The costs were about £800 per month per apartment. And they rented them out mainly to companies who had staff in the area who were doing projects and things. They do a nightly rate. But they pretty much got monthly leases on there. And the rate varied between £50 and £75 per month. This property, after paying the landlord, so they don't own these, they're doing a rent to rent, taking them on from the landlord, covering the costs, etc. This makes £7,000 profit per month. Now, David doesn't get all of that. He only gets half of it. He only gets £3,500. But remember, he's not put any money in. He's not done any of the work. He's just found the deal. He's educated, found great deals. So if you'd like a deal like that, just type. Oh, do you want to turn your microphone off, please? That would be really useful. Can you just check your microphones off, please? That would be great. Thank you very much. So just type in deal into the chat box if you would like a deal like this. If you're sitting there scratching your head thinking about it, guess what? You've already missed the deal. You see, to be a successful agent, you need to know a good deal when you spot. You need to be able to move quickly. It's one of the disciplines you need to have if you want to be a successful. When you see a good deal, you've got to move fast. Now, have you noticed there's one thing in common, well, quite a few things actually, with all these mega deals? They're all big deals. They're all larger projects, the ones that most people wouldn't look at. But there's one thing in common. And that is none of them had to use much of their own money to do these mega deals. They used other people's money. They all used different types of creative finance, whether it was an option, whether it was a loan, whether a joint venture, they all used creative finance. So stop thinking about your investing based on just your resources. It's time to think bigger than what you have. Recognize there are people out there who might have time, they might have money, they might have energy, they might have knowledge, inclination, and you can work with others. You've got to connect with people, get to know other people. Don't do what I did, which was doing property for the first 7 or 8 years on my own. That is a very lonely, a very foolish and hard way of doing investing. Building your network of other people you can work with is a really smart thing to do. Mega deals make so much money that you can afford to offer other people a great return on their money. So they can put the money in, you give them a great return, and there's still plenty of profit for you. So the sequence I shared with you today, first of all, you don't need lots of properties to replace your income. That's the first distinction I want you to get. Secondly, you do want to get 15% plus ROI on all of your investments to make sure your money is working really hard for you Isn't that a good idea? Get your money working hard for you rather than you working hard for money. And finally, it's much, I should change that. It's not easy, but it's easier to find private investors when you've got mega deals that have lots of profit. Now, in the past hour, hopefully you'll agree it's been time well spent so far. If you do, just type in agree into the chat box. Type in value. If you've got some value from this, I want to get you thinking bigger, understanding what you could do. If you're thinking bigger now, you've been inspired, just type value into the chat box. Now, obviously, I can't cover everything you need to know in just an hour. I probably need at least a day. And I actually have a very special offer for you, so you can get everything you need if you want to start maximizing your cash flow, start getting a better return on investment. And if you act fast, I've got a very special deal for you. But it is about being decisive and acting quickly, because when you find good deals, you sit around and think about it, guess what? Someone else quicker is going to come and secure that deal. So you've got to be decisive. You've got to take action quickly. So I have a training coming up. Now, it's a one-off training I'm doing. It's a virtual event. It's a live virtual event. We've got a day. We're filming it. We're making a product that we're going to sell. It's all about maximizing your cash flow. It's next weekend. It's Sunday, the 8th of May. It's all day. It's 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And I'm going to be doing the morning, all about property, all about maximizing your cash flow. And I've got a very good friend of mine, very experienced investor, who's talking about how you can do it in another asset class in the afternoon. Okay. I'm going to be teaching how you can actually acquire, how do you find these mega deals and how can you use other people's money to do them? We're going to show you how you can make at least 15% return, whether you're doing property or stocks, you should make at least 15%. I think it's good to diversify. In fact, we're going to teach you how you can earn an infinite return on your investments. People talk about cryptocurrency making thousands and thousands of percent. Well, that's possible. I invest in crypto. You got to be careful what you do there. But it's difficult to make an infinite return, which you absolutely can do in property. Now, this training for a day like this, normally we charge £497 plus VAT. VAT's obviously 20%, so £600. And by the way, we offer a full money back guarantee. So on all the 1 day courses, 3 day courses, and our home study programs, and not for our mastermind, but on all of the our programs, we offer a 100% money back guarantee, which is, you could do half the training. You can, you know, do half a day on a day course. You can do day and a half on a 3 day course, or if it's a home study, get 14 days, whatever. But the idea is you could go through the material. And if you can't see how the investment you've made in yourself, because that's what you're doing when you do training, you're investing in yourself. If you can't see how that investment is going to make at least 10 times the money back very, very quickly, or you might say, look, it's a brilliant course, just not for me. Just let us know up to halfway through, and we'll give you all of your money back. We won't hold anything back for admin or credit card fees, even though we've got to pay those ourselves. We'll give you all your money back. So if you think that's a fair deal, where you get a 100% money back guarantee, just type fair into the chat box. Just type in fair. Okay, yeah, and we're saying lots of people saying fair. Okay, good. Well, of course it's fair. We like to do it fair. So I'm taking the risk there because, you know, once I've shared all that valuable information, I can never get that back out of your head, even though we give you all your money back, right? So it's pretty fair. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think if I can teach you the things I put on this screen, showing what I've just shown this last hour, do you think actually investing £500 plus VAT in yourself, and you've got to spend a day as well, you've got to then take action on what I teach you, but do you think that would be a pretty good investment? And we're giving you a 10 times your money back guarantee. Do you think that would be a pretty good investment? If you think it's worth it, just type worth it into the chat box. If you think an investment that's going to be worth it. We want to be quick, guys. If you think it's worth it, just type in worth it. Yeah, of course. Now, I said I've got a special, and I really value your time, and I appreciate you being here, and I'm going to tell you how you can come and book this course for £500 plus VAT in a moment, but I've got something else to say. Now, listen very, very carefully. I'm going to give one person who's been interacting, who's an action taker, I'm going to give one person the opportunity to not pay £497 plus VAT, but come for just £1 for the whole day of training. It's virtual training. You do it from the comfort of your own home. Whoever I give this to, I want to make sure you're going to commit to be there, because I'm not going to give it to the danger of giving someone for a pound is say, well, it's only a pound. It's not going to be very good. I promise you it's going to be fantastic training this. If you've got some value from what I've taught, you've been inspired, you know, we're going to go a lot deeper on this. So you need to make sure you can come next Sunday. It's virtual. Do it from the comfort of your own home, or you're there fully participating for the whole day. But if you'd like to get this for just £1, type in me into the chat box right now. Type in me into the chat if you'd like to get the opportunity to take this just £1. Now, you've got to be quick, guys. You've got to be quick. If you sit and think about things too long, I mean, it's incredible value at 600, 500 plus VAT, £600. Pounds for the day. And by the way, if you've got a significant other part, they can sit and watch as well. Okay. So you've got to be quick. Some people say, oh, well, someone else is going to beat me, so I won't bother putting it. Guess what? That's going to happen in property all the time. You got to take action. Type in me, lots of people did it. First person was Henry. You did that pretty well. I'm going to look down. Someone said, oh, please pick me. Okay. Mary said, you're already there. Great, Mary. Good. And I actually did this offer to people yesterday who were on we did a virtual property exhibition. I wasn't here for Jack's event yesterday, I'm afraid. I'll be here a lot of today and some tomorrow. But I wasn't able to be here because we were doing a virtual property show, and I made this offer yesterday. And what I said was one person could do it. Then I said, well, I'll tell you what, because you've been here and I want to value your time, and you know, you got to commit to come. But what I'm actually going to do is, how about if I give this offer to everybody? Now, I'm not putting this out to my general database. I'm doing it to people on this training right now. I'm doing it to some people who are on my live training. Yes, and I like live training because it means you bothered to show up, right? You committed, you said, I'm going to come to this, you turned up. I want to work with committed people, right? And some people have been to pin meetings in April. We've also offered them the same thing. And why I'm doing it is because I want a really interactive audience, because we're making a virtual product out of this, well, a physical product we're going to sell. And I want an audience so I can get some interaction, so I can ask some questions. So you are going to help me make this an even better product, and we're going to be selling it. So I don't want everyone to come on this, because there are lots of people who are going to pay £500 plus for this, to be honest. And when people have paid for something, when they're invested, they're more likely to do it and actually take action, right? But I do want a certain number of people there. So I'm making this limited offer. So the offer is right now. Here's what you need to do. Let me show you this. So special offer, people on this PEN webinar. Basically, instead of paying £497 plus VAT, I am going to give you a discount of £496, okay? As my gift for you being here, and thank you for Jack for the opportunity to speak. I always love the chance to come and inspire and share, and I hope that's been useful for you. You get access to it. Here's how you do it. Now, you need to write this down. There's a website. And actually, let me see if I can maybe share this in the chat box. Let me see if I can do this. I'm not sure if I've saved it. Oh, no, I hadn't saved it in my thing. Okay, take a picture of it. Take a screenshot. I'm going to have a QR code in a moment so you can hold your phone up. And basically, this is the website you need to go to. And there's a special code you need to know. When you go to the website, you'll see it is a £496 webinar, okay? A day training. And you go through. But when you then use this code, it will take £496 off. You're just paying a pound, okay? So actually, the guy, thank you for sharing. Henry, thanks so much for sharing it in there. So this is the code you need. Write down this code. Otherwise, you'll be paying the full price. It is VPEMYC, VPEMYC. Write that code down. That code is worth £496 to you. If you don't have that code, you cannot get the discount. So write that down. And again, thank you for sharing it in the chat box. VPEMYC, that's what you need. Here is a QR code. You can take out your phone right now. Turn it off airplane mode. Take out your phone, hold it up to the screen, turn on your camera, hold your camera over that, and it will take you directly to the page. Now, listen carefully. When you go through to the page, you'll see a little video, very simple page, me telling you a little bit about the event. You don't have to watch that. You can if you want, you don't have to. Then it says, buy a ticket. Click on the ticket. It will say you're paying the full price. You're not paying the full price. Put in all your details, then scroll down. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to what I'm saying, because we had some people struggling with this yesterday. Scroll down the page to where it says order summary. Write that down. Or maybe if you're on the page right now, have a look. Click on where it says purchase the training. Then go. Then you got the order page. Guys, do it right now so you get it done. You've got the order page there. Click on where it says buy the ticket. Go through the order page. Scroll down where it says order summary. Look for that. It says order summary. There'll be a little box that says, do you have a voucher code? Click on that. Click on where it says, do you have a voucher code? Click on that. And up will come a box. Up will pop a little box and you type in the code into the box. It is case sensitive. It needs to be in capitals. So VPEMYC. VPEMYC. Please write that down. It's in capitals. Make sure you got it. Go and put that code in. Then press the button that says apply. So you go to where it says order summary. There's a line, click on, says, do you have a code? Click on that. Do you have a voucher code? Click on that code. Then put in VPEMYC. Then press apply. It will take 497 off. You just pay a pound. Okay. That's how you do that. Okay.
Simon, can I very quickly chip in? Someone has written, says not valid.
It is valid. It works. We had people doing it yesterday. It absolutely works. Okay,
so I have another person and the third person saying not valid.
Okay, so it absolutely should work.
I've had three people write they're not valid.
Okay, make sure it is case sensitive. So make sure you are using capitals.
It works. I've just done it now.
Oh, it works. Uppercase, that might be the reason.
Yeah. So as I did say, guys, I did say it's all about listening carefully, right? I said several times it's uppercase, capital letters.
It's uppercase, guys. Thank you.
VPEMC. It absolutely works, guys.
We are running short of time, Simon. I have a couple of questions for you. I think Flake has a question for you. She's actually co-hosting with us.
I'm all done. So I'm open to questions. Go for it.
Flake, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Simon. Really great session, as always.
My pleasure.
I did do the Creative Finance home study program as well during the lockdown. So, really useful there. I just wanted to talk a bit about the sitting in the middle example that you gave. And my question is about how do you divide the profit share between yourself and the deal finder? Because this is obviously different from deal sourcing.
Absolutely. It's all negotiable is the first point. And what we did, he came to me, and I've actually worked this guy before. He knows he's great at finding these bigger projects. He's got the building team and everything. He just doesn't have the money. And he knows I have money. He knows I've got access to money. So he came to me and said 50-50. So he got 50%, I got 50%. My job was to find all of the money for the project. Some of that was bridging finance. Most of it was private investor. It was a few years ago now. I think we got one investor who put in like £1 million. It was a lot of money to put in. And what they got out of it, the investor, they got a really good return. They got the first call on profits. So they made their money back and interest before me and the JV partner made any money. And they got a lend and learn option. They looked over our shoulders. I've never been to the site, but this investor has. He went up, he met my partner there, looked over the project, learned from that. And that learning opportunity, I mean, Mark mentioned it earlier, lend and learn is a really valuable, don't underestimate how much people will value that. You should be paying a lower interest rate because they're getting that learning opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. I also know people who've done a three-way split where they do third, a third, a third. The person who's got the deal, does the work, gets a third. You get a third because you're kind of facilitating and the other one. But then that means the person who's found the deals gets less. So I quite like, well, let's give them 50%. I get 50%. And out of that 50%, by the way, I paid the person who put the money in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I've actually earned less than 50% because I've paid interest to them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think the key in what you mentioned in that example is the knowing the person, the credibility, because the last thing you want is somebody running away with your investment.
Look, guys, so the caveat to all of this is you have to know what makes a good deal. Someone might come to you with, oh, it's a great deal. You say, oh, yeah, it's really good. I'll find some money. Well, you've got to know it's a really good deal. My question is, if you found it yourself, would you do that as a deal? Right? It's got to be a really good deal.
Yeah.
The person's bought the deal to you, they might have found a deal. That doesn't mean they're fit for purpose to actually get the project done, you know? And very people say, oh, I'll do it. Well, actually, hang on. Is there enough profit in here for us to get a project manager to do it properly? You want to put controls in place to make sure someone doesn't run off of your money. And sometimes that does happen. There are people out there who aren't as honest as they should be. So absolutely, you need to get to know. But it's a bit like when you do a joint venture, you are going into business with someone. It's like a marriage, a business marriage. You need to date someone for a while before you propose to them, is an analogy maybe that people will understand.
Perfect. Thank you. We had a question from Henry Stracker. It was actually to Mark, but since we were talking about finance, I think it would be great for your session as well. He says, I want to transfer my pension into a SAS to contribute to my property journey. Is there anything I need to consider before forming my limited company?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things really. First of all, you can't move all pensions. So it depends, you know, if you're a civil servant or you're a nurse or a doctor or you're a fireman or, you know, something like that, it's a state pension and you can't move it because in reality, there is no money there. You know, the pensioners are paid by the taxes we pay all the people who are working, right? If you've got a private pension with a company or one you set up, you can collect all of those together, put them together and put them into a SAS. And generally, a SAS is linked to a company, so you can have a company. And again, I can't give tax advice here, but for most people, investing in a company structure, especially if you want to have lots of property, making lots of money, is probably the most tax efficient way moving forward. So you probably should have a property company anyway, and then you could just attach a SAS to that. Also, bear in mind, it does take quite a long time generally to move pensions around. So you're not going to have money next week. So the sooner you start that, if that's something you want to do, the better off is what I suggest. So I hope that kind of gives you a few answers around that.
Thank you very much for that, Simon. You did mention crowd property. Is that a loan or is that... did they do like joint ventures or equity, or is it just a straightforward loan?
So there are different people out there with different models. Crowd property is actually a loan. So it's a development loan. And think of crowd property a bit like a bank. They're not a bank, a bit like a bridger. So they will lend the money for the purchase of a property, typically up to 70% of the value. And they'll lend you the money for the development work as well. Now, that means that most lenders, including crowd property, want you to have some skin in the game. They want to have some money in there, but it doesn't have to be your money. So crowd property, for example, are very happy you putting an investor's money into the project as long as there's the paperwork in place. Many lenders wouldn't do that. In fact, crowd property are also happy if someone puts the money in, that person can have a second charge, again, which many lenders would not be happy with. But because I've set crowd property up and we are investors, crowd property is run by investors for investors, so we get it, we understand things to structure them in the right way. And then crowd property obviously will take a first charge just like any other bank or any other bridger would do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And also thank you for that generous offer for next week, Sunday. So we all have a date for next week now.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Again, absolute pleasure having you with us today. I always get goosebumps when I'm listening to you. It's always an amazing feeling. For those who have not bought his book, Property Magic, he's written it like many, many years ago. I think that was one of the first books that I picked up when I started doing property full time. So go and get that book. That's an amazing book as well. Go and check him out on social media. And he's always one of the best investor speakers out there who can help you in your journey. Like I said, right at the start of the session, Success is attracted by the person you become, and the only way to become that person is by learning from books and from mentors and trainers around us. So thank you once again, Simon. Absolutely.